Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What's up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you all on what is January 19th, 2021. That's right. I hope you all are doing great on this very important week. Very, very important week in our nation's history as we are just, what, now less than a day away from the inauguration of our next president of the United States, Joe Biden. As we all know, there's a lot going on in our country, and I just want everybody just to be safe, all right? And, you know, as we move into this this new chapter of our nation's history. But, hey, happy January 19th. You know, yesterday was MLK Day, Martin Luther King Day, and, you know, I decided to roll back the clock on yesterday's Current Sports and roll in the show that we aired 2 years ago on MLK Day. And it's become like a Current Sports tradition now ever since I made the decision to, you know, roll with this segment on the very first MLK Day back in 2014 of Current Sports. And I always play the Martin Luther King Jr. I Have a Dream speech. And, you know, as I was sitting back listening to that show from 2 years ago, man, that speech, it never gets old. It's so powerful in so many ways. And just, you know, I hope you took some time to just reflect on what Dr. King, what he stood for, you know, what he stood for. And it's a moment, you know, having MLK Day yesterday is a moment that it means, I feel like as I'm getting older and as we see what's happening in our nation right now, when it comes to blatant racism and the civil unrest and the protest, man, you have to think about what Dr. King was going through in his own personal battle, dedicating his life to the civil rights movement, dedicating his life to the betterment of humanity. And, you know, I took some time yesterday to reflect on that. And, you know, I want to give a big shout out to the NBA on TNT. As many of you know, the NBA, they always have all of these basketball games on MLK Day, which I love. You know, I'm a basketball nut. I'm an NBA nut. And as I was watching the post-game show from Charles Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, and Ernie Johnson, they finished the show by talking about MLK Day and, you know, what it meant to all of them. And, you know, they were just talking about and just reflecting on his life and just how amazing it is to think about all he accomplished, but to think about also how far we have to go as a country. But they did an amazing job with that coverage last night. And shout out to the Atlanta Hawks, the birthplace of MLK in the ATL. And they wore jerseys that gave tribute to Dr. King. And the jerseys were really sweet. They said MLK on the front. They were black and gold, a nod to his fraternity, his college fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, which I am a member of. And that's something I always bring up every year. It's so cool to say that I am the fraternity brother of Dr. King. Pretty amazing stuff. I love saying that, to know that he is a bruh, you know. But, yeah, they were black and gold, and they had MLK over the front. And some other really cool things that touched upon the life that he lived. But they were so sweet. And then, you know, you look at the Atlanta Hawks floor on the hardwood, and it was decorated to also give a nod to Dr. King. So, man, the NBA just does it right. They does it. They do it right when it comes to MLK Day every single year. And it was cool for me to work from home and then to enjoy a day of NBA basketball, despite the fact, because this game was delayed as well, but my Detroit Pistons, they play like every MLK Day, and they always lose. That's the Pistons for you, right? But the game was actually delayed. It was supposed to happen in the afternoon, but it was delayed to make room for more COVID testing. And COVID has just been running through the NBA right now. But that game was delayed, and they tipped off later on that evening, and they lost to the Miami Heat. More details on that game later on. So I hope you had a great holiday, the three-day weekend, and I hope you did something to reflect on the life of Dr. King and think about how, you know, that reflection can impact your life in a positive way, you know, to make our world a better place. And on today's current sports, I want to talk about the NFL. I want to just briefly touch upon what we saw in the divisional round weekend. Cleveland, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, L.A., Green Bay, and Baltimore and Buffalo. Because now we're down to four. And then there were four. And after this upcoming weekend, we will know who will play in the Super Bowl out in Tampa, Florida. All right? So I'll touch upon that. And also, from there, I want to talk about the Michigan State men's basketball COVID-19 outbreak. Because just like so many other teams and leagues out there, everybody's dealing with this thing. And if you aren't careful, it can get really out of hand. And right now for Michigan State men's basketball, it is getting really out of hand. And we have yet another postponement for the Spartans. And I want you to hear, because I don't know, apparently, you know, a reporter trying to get like the inside scoop as to who tested positive last week, and Izzo wasn't happy about it, and you'll hear him rant about that, and also talk about, you know, how he's battling this other opponent that is COVID-19. I mean, heck, his son Steven was one of the players last week that tested positive. So you'll get to hear from him later on this hour as well. We'll play his press conference, okay? So a lot to get to. As always, if you would like to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can do so. You can pick up the phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Again, leave us a voicemail there. No live call still. Leave us a voicemail at that number. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or you can tweet the show at WKAR News, or just simply leave us a comment anywhere on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. All right. And, you know, before I proceed, I want to let you guys know we will not be on the airwaves tomorrow because of the Biden-Harris inauguration. Tomorrow we will have special coverage. And I want to let you guys know how you can get that inauguration coverage through WKAR. After a turbulent transition of power, Joe Biden says he is determined to unify a divided country. Tune in to WKAR for special live coverage of the inauguration of the 46th U.S. president. Watch on 23.2 WKAR-TV's World Channel or stream at WKAR.org. So tomorrow morning, starting at 10:30 a.m. So starting at 10:30 a.m., we will have inauguration coverage. And if you can't watch, again, listen to NPR's live coverage of the inauguration right here on 105.1 WKAR News Talk, all right? So our coverage will begin in the morning, all right? So it will preempt current sports. So if you tune in expecting to hear my sultry voice at 1 p.m., you won't. You won't, okay? You will be hearing the inauguration coverage. All right. All right. Moving along. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, the Michigan State men's basketball game won Saturday against number 13 Illinois. Well, that has now been postponed, if you didn't know by now. It is now the third straight game that the Spartans have called off due to COVID-19 issues in the program and fourth this season. MSU coach Tom Izzo said there were three more positive tests on Sunday within the program and that included one player, freshman walk-on Davis Smith, who is the son of famed Michigan State forward Steve Smith. The Spartans' two games last week, Thursday at Iowa and Sunday against Indiana in East Lansing, both were postponed due to COVID-19 issues within the program. Michigan State had three players test positive for COVID-19 last week, freshman forward Maddie Sizoko on January 10th, and the coach's son, sophomore walk-on guard Steven Izzo, on Tuesday. And then, later on, we found out that senior guard Joshua Langford tested positive on Wednesday. So, Michigan State basketball right now, you know, still having, like, individual workouts, but working out as a team, nah, that's not happening right now. The program hasn't shut down, but, you know, this is kind of getting out of hand now. Because now you look at the schedule, and you know, I'm looking at the next game for Michigan State, and it's not scheduled until, what, the 31st against Ohio State on the road. So, and you know, this would have been a really interesting stretch, possibly a really great stretch for Michigan State because they were playing so many home games. But, you know, now with these postponements, that has thrown a wrench into everything, really. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Looking at the schedule, the next game will actually be at Rutgers on the 28th, and then Ohio State. So, yeah, more on the Michigan State men's basketball COVID-19 outbreak in just a moment. But Michigan is doing just fine. The Wolverines will be in action tonight against Maryland. Now, Michigan basketball lost on Saturday for the first time in over 10 months. The Wolverines' record is no longer unblemished after an 18-point loss at Minnesota. But Michigan still sits in first place in the Big Ten, tied with Iowa, and has played well over the past month. The Wolverines will get another test tonight as they host Maryland for the second game of their regular season series. Michigan previously defeated the Terrapins by 11 points on New Year's Eve at College Park. So tonight's game will take place at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. All right, and Mel Tucker appears to be about to lose his first assistant coach. One of the key bridges from the Mark D'Antonio era, actually. Mike Tressel former Michigan State football defensive coordinator who actually coached safeties this season for the MSU football team in Tucker's first year. He will reportedly become the new defensive coordinator at Cincinnati. Yahoo Sports reported that on Monday. So Tressel's salary in 2020 was a little over $600,000, the same he made as D'Antonio's highest paid assistant while serving as D coordinator back in 2019. While at Cincinnati, Tressel will rejoin head coach Luke Fickell, who actually was a finalist for the MSU job last February. The two worked together under D'Antonio at Ohio State, where Fickell was special teams coordinator. Well, I should say special teams coach in 2002-03 before rising up the ranks under Tressel's uncle, Jim Tressel. So there you have that. That's going to be interesting to see how Mel Tucker fills that void. But Mike Tressel reportedly about to leave MSU football to head to Cincinnati. All right, and one of Michigan football's top running backs plans to leave the program. Sophomore Zach Charbonnet entered the NCAA transfer portal yesterday. That's what I saw from the Detroit Free Press. That's what they, I believe, first reported. The former four-star recruit, he rushed for 124 yards and one touchdown on 19 carries this season. Almost half of his yardage total came during one 70-yard run against Minnesota in the team's opener. So really not that influential this past season for Michigan football, hence why he is probably transferring, right? All right, and the Detroit Pistons, as I mentioned on MLK Day, they ended up falling to the Miami Heat 113-107. Bam Adebayo for the Heat finished with 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Jeremy Grant, who is probably having his best season as a pro thus far, he led the Pistons with 27 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, and a block. The Pistons will next play Atlanta. The Hawks come tomorrow night. And, you know, after that first quarter, yesterday's game against the Heat looked as though the Pistons would, you know, pick right up where they left off on Saturday. But, you know, and that was their best win of the season, also against the Heat. But, you know, they led by 19 midway through the first quarter, closed the period with a 12-point lead, and then just gave it up. Gave it up. Let Miami back in the game. And credit to the Heat because they never stopped fighting. Came back and boom, they lose. So we'll see what they do against the Hawks tomorrow night. But the Pistons just aren't a good basketball team right now. The Detroit Red Wings in the infancy stages of this new year, they will take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at Little Caesars Arena at 7:30 p.m. tonight. The Pistons are, the Wings, not the Pistons, we just talked about the Pistons. The Wings are 1-2. The Blue Jackets are also 1-2 on the year. The Wings lost Monday's first game against the Blue Jackets 3-2, highlighted by a melee in the final minute. That's right, it went down in that final minute. So we'll see if the Wings can bounce back tonight. Also, former Heisman Trophy winner, Michigan native, Flint Town, Mark Ingram. He has been released by the Baltimore Ravens. That's according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The move will save the Ravens $5 million in salary cap space next season, according to the report. Ingram, he fell behind J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards on the Ravens depth chart and was the team's fourth rushing option for most of the season when considering quarterback Lamar Jackson. The Ravens didn't activate Ingram for Saturday's playoff loss to the Buffalo Bills, making the vet a healthy scratch after he was activated late in the regular season from a stint on the COVID-19 reserve list. So we'll see where Mark Ingram lands next. I will miss, you know, the synergy that Mark had with Lamar Jackson. Basically, you know, being like the hype man for Lamar Jackson, being like the flavor play for Lamar Jackson, it was pretty awesome. And I'm sure he will be missed from the organization. But, you know, he's a running back, and running backs, you know, they don't have really, really long careers in the NFL. You know, a lot of miles in the tires now for Mark Ingram. He's 31 years old. We will see, you know, who lands him. We'll see. Because I think there are going to be some teams out there that take a shot on him. All right. And last but not least, the New York Mets, they have fired general manager Jarrett Porter after it was reported yesterday that he sent multiple explicit and unsolicited images to a female reporter 4 years ago back in 2016. Well, now 5 years ago back in 2016. Mets owner Steve Cohen announced the club's decision to terminate Porter on social media early this morning. He went on to say, quote, "In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. The Mets hired Porter, who is 41 years old, as its general manager back in December after he spent four seasons as the Arizona Diamondbacks assistant GM. So Jarrett Porter out as the general manager of the Mets. All right, that will do it for your current sports quick hit headliners. As I've mentioned, if you would like to be a part of the show, you can just simply call us and leave us a voice message at 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-WKAR 9527. You can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at AlMartinWKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, you'll get my thoughts on what we saw this past weekend in the NFL. And then there were four. And the COVID-19 outbreak for the Michigan State men's basketball program. That and more. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And I want to start here before we dive into the COVID-19 outbreak that's happening within the Michigan State basketball program. I want to just briefly touch upon the NFL weekend that was. As we saw in the divisional round weekend, games that decided the final four for this weekend of the NFL playoffs. The Cleveland Browns ended up falling to the Kansas City Chiefs 22-17 in what was a very entertaining, very close game. I want to tip my hat to the Browns, who had one stellar season. All of the criticism that quarterback Baker Mayfield had entering the league at the very beginning of his tenure as the starting QB, the man behind center for the Browns. I mean, all of that is kind of going out the window now because this dude is balling. You know, I think of one of my guys I listen to quite regularly is my guy Colin Cowherd of Fox Sports, and he has been probably the biggest Baker Mayfield hater out there, period. But Colin has to be toning down that song a lot after the year that Baker Mayfield had. And look, they almost knocked off the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. It was a great play call that led to the Chiefs able to pick up that first down. It was a throw by the backup quarterback, whose name escapes me right now. Let me see here. If I can bring him up. Yeah, Chad Henne. I thought it was Chad Henne. Trust your gut, Al. Chad Henne, who came in and held it down after Patrick Mahomes went out of that game with a concussion. You know, he was hit pretty hard, awkwardly, and got up and was a bit woozy. And then Chad Henne comes into the game and seals the victory with some late game heroics. He had a big run that led to a first down. And then it was an amazing, amazing play call by Andy Reid that led to a rollout and a short dump to Tyreek Hill. You know, he sits on it before going out of bounds. You know, just before it looks like he was going to go out of bounds, but you know, he sits on it to just run out the clock and Chiefs win. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing play call, but you know, just imagine if Cleveland would have got that ball back. I would have loved to have seen what Baker Mayfield could have done. But the Chiefs, they squeak it out, 22-17 final. Then you had the big game of the weekend. They saved the best for last. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking on the New Orleans Saints. And I say the best for last because, I mean, look, you got, you know, the way that game was billed. You got the GOAT in Tom Brady going against one of the greatest of all time in Drew Brees. Two 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks at ages 42 and 43 going at it in the NFL playoffs and still playing at a high, high level. Man, age ain't nothing but a number. If you keep yourself in shape, take care of your body, and work hard, you too can be like Tom Brady and Drew Brees in your 40s. That's easier said than done, though, right? But hey, you know, that was just special to watch. And, you know, Drew just had some, he had some troubles against that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense as that game went along. And he had multiple picks. And Tom Brady, you know, he capitalizes on that. And the GOAT continues to show that he can make noise when the lights are the brightest in the NFL playoffs. And Tom and the Buccaneers, they win that game by 10, 30-20. But again, a lot of that has to do with the way that Buccaneers defense played and frustrating Drew Brees. And Tom Brady did enough to win that game. And he's been having a great year, though. He's got a lot of weapons out there, including, you know, the always controversial Antonio Brown, right? But shout out to and also shout out to Chris Godwin as well. He's such an amazing, amazing player. You know, Mike Evans. I mean, a lot of talent on that Buccaneers roster. And I believe they can get to the Super Bowl. You know, Tom Brady could have ring number 7. I kid you not, which is, that's insane to think about, right? All right. Then you had also the Rams, looking at the Saturday slate, the L.A. Rams and the Green Bay Packers. As, you know, early on, it looked like that Rams defense was going to cause Green Bay some problems. You know, I was at the barbershop looking at that first drive. And that first drive where the Packers were in the red zone, but the Rams were able to hold Aaron Rodgers, A.A. Ron, and the Green Bay Packers to just 3, I'm sitting there saying, okay, you know, that Rams defense is solid. But Rodgers is having such a good, good season. You know, I love watching the connection between Rodgers and Davante Adams, the two just incredibly talented players, connect on you know, pass after pass after pass. But Packers pull out that one, 32-18. Packers can make some noise as well. Don't sleep on them. That's going to be one incredible, incredible game between the Packers and the Buccaneers. And then, final game I want to touch upon, the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills. Just to show you just how good the Buffalo Bills are, I mean, they faced one of the most dynamic, game-changing, generational game-changing quarterbacks in league history in Lamar Jackson, and they were able to hold Lamar and that offense to just 3 points. That's incredible, right? It was a 17-3 final score, and that Ravens offense needs some help. You know, I understand you got Lamar Jackson, and there are other weapons there, but they need more. They need more. And you don't want to squander a talent like Lamar Jackson. You know, after they beat Tennessee 20-13 in the wild card weekend, I said, okay, yeah, they can make some noise here. But, you know, that Buffalo defense is really good. But what I saw against the Ravens was a lack of other options other than Lamar Jackson making the spectacular happen. And that's a problem. So they got to surround him with better pieces. I'll just say that. And then Mark Ingram disappearing the way he did. I know he had COVID issues, but disappearing the way he did as the year went along. Yeah, Ravens got some ways to go. And Josh Allen and the Bills are balling. They are like that team that you just, you know, they're the underdog. You know, they're that team that everybody's saying, okay, you look at the Bucs and the Packers and the Chiefs. They're that little engine that could. They really are. Don't sleep on the Bills. The Bills have a really good chance of beating Kansas City this weekend. I'll just say that. I'm not saying they are, but that game is going to be highly, highly competitive. So what are your thoughts on what we saw and what we have seen throughout the NFL playoffs thus far? Divisional round weekend. I am going with Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl. You know, I said that before the playoffs began. There's just something special there. I never count out, even though he's 40-plus years old, 43 years old, I never count out Tom Brady. He is still playing at a high, high level. That Buccaneers defense is so, so good. I think they can slow down the Packers this weekend. There's just something special about the Buccaneers. I'm not going against them. That's my pick. That's my pick. What about you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call and leave us a voice message there. All right. Let's get to the Michigan State COVID-19 outbreak, because it is very, it just kind of just takes the air out of you, you know, for all of the Michigan State basketball fans out there. I mean, one of the most, probably the most exciting team in our area, right? Big team in our area when it comes to college sports is Tom Izzo's men's basketball program, because they are one of the best in the nation. Tom Izzo was a Hall of Fame coach. The established winning culture that he has implemented in East Lansing at Michigan State University is remarkable. And we just love watching him, right? But because of COVID-19, Michigan State basketball has taken a pause, and we don't know what's going to happen moving forward now. And they have to just continue to take every precaution necessary to make sure that this thing doesn't continue to get out of hand. You know, I mentioned last week on Current Sports how they had two games canceled. Well, excuse me, postponed. I want to say postponed, because that's the official word. We'll see if they can make these games up. But they had two games postponed last week. Iowa and Indiana, and thought that, okay, we'll get back to some hoops this week. And then Monday happens, where you have news that three players have now, you know, well, now four players, I should say, have now tested positive. And Matty Sizoko last week, Stephen Izzo last week, Joshua Langford last week, and now freshman walk-on Davis Smith. He was the lone player, along with some staffers, who tested positive for COVID-19, which has now led to the latest postponement. Saturday against Illinois will not happen as of right now. So, you know, Izzo, Izzo was very frustrated, I'll just say that, for two different reasons. Apparently, there was some reporter, I guess, that was trying to pry and get information on, you know, who was the additional player alongside Sizoko and Izzo, Stephen Izzo, that tested positive. And I guess he was annoyed with that. As you'll hear in just a moment, he'll say, I know you guys have your moles, but we're always transparent. And he kind of, you know, he went on a rant about, you know, how open, and again, this is something you cannot argue. When it comes to coverage, Michigan State men's basketball, they are so open, they're so transparent. You know, Izzo, in normal circumstances, he invites us to check out practice, and I love attending Tom Izzo's MSU men's basketball practices and seeing, you know, that kind of greatness up close and personal. But, you know, he is up front, but he was very annoyed with some leaked information, I guess you can say. And then he's annoyed from the standpoint of not being able to play. Not being able to have his guys out there on the basketball court. But, as I've been saying, since March of last year, COVID-19, it does not discriminate. It does not care what race, what age you are. It can and will infect you if you aren't careful. And trying to play sports right now can prove to be a challenge. We all knew that. When these leagues in college and the pros and now in high school as well, you know, high school basketball was able to open up practice, you know, non-contact practice over the weekend. You know, when you say, okay, let's give this thing a go, you are taking a risk that you know it. You clearly know it. You know that if you go out there, you have to be careful, and there is a risk of catching COVID-19. And, you know, Coach K, head coach of the Duke Blue Devils, famed head coach, probably the most recognizable coach in college basketball, you know, he came out and said that, hey, man, I don't think we should be playing games right now. I just don't. This thing is too out of hand. It's too sporadic. And, you know, the NCAA has come out and said that, hey, we're going to try and hold the entire tournament in Indianapolis. You know, now there's talks about the Big Ten tournament being moved from Chicago because Chicago is having a lot of COVID-19 issues right now. Moving it from Chicago to Indianapolis as well. I mean, there's just a lot going on, and it's an unpredictable season. There's no solving this thing. Right now, at least. There just isn't. So when you have positive tests, you got to shut down. And look, when Michigan State gets back out there on the basketball court, there are other teams in the Big Ten who aren't dealing with this. I mean, heck, you know, look at Michigan basketball right now. One of the best teams in the Big Ten Conference. Again, reminder, you'll see them tonight against Maryland on Fox Sports 1 at 7 p.m. You know, Michigan has had no COVID-19 issues. And they are winning games and competing in the Big Ten. And we all know about the struggles of Michigan State basketball before this outbreak occurred. You know, that still, they're still licking the wounds of that one-point loss at home against Purdue. You got some programs who are lucky and fortunate to not have an outbreak. And then you have some programs like Michigan State who are having an outbreak. And then the question comes in, okay, with these postponements, which means as the season continues, I mean, you haven't played as many Big Ten games as other teams who have played many Big Ten games. I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you play catch up? Are you because Michigan State, many people believe after that loss to Purdue, bubble alert, and now you don't have games to try and change that perception and get back in the talk of tourney time. It's frustrating. And Izzo is noted, and you'll hear from him in just a moment, that, okay, maybe we can play like four games in a week. You know, he floated that to his players, and his players seem to get excited about that. Okay, squeeze him in, right? You know, do it the NBA way. Multiple games in a week. I don't know. But what I do know is that if Michigan State doesn't get this under control, you know, in time for the next game against Rutgers on the 28th, then Ohio State on the 31st, and you keep having postponements, I just don't know how Michigan State can make up the ground. Which would be very, very unfortunate. So what I want to do right now is hit our final break. And when we come back, you will get the chance to hear from a very frustrated Tom Izzo, who also, I thought it was great how he ended the press conference yesterday, talking about the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King, and how he actually yesterday had his players sit down and watch some documentaries detailing the life of Dr. King and what he stood for, what he fought for here in America before he was unfortunately murdered because of those beliefs. Yeah, just think about that. Murdered because of those beliefs, trying to bring people together. So you hear from Coach Izzo in just a moment. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. To close out the show, as I mentioned prior to ending segment B, Rolling into the final segment here on Current Sports, I want you to hear from Tom Izzo as he talks about the COVID-19 outbreak within his program, which has now caused MSU basketball to postpone Saturday's game against Illinois. And he'll explain his frustration with a leak, a mole, if you will, as well as, you know, the frustration of trying to figure this thing out, COVID-19 out, you know, and trying to get games in. And he'll finish with thoughts on the life and legacy of Dr. King. So here is the head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball program, Tom Izzo.
And we've had 8 players that have had it earlier, but is it 100 days? Is it 90 days? Is it 120 days? Is it 200 days? If you have the answers, please let me know, because we have no clue. So we're just kind of living day to day, making sure that they're as safe as they can be. And I'm sure Lindsay will jump on, but one of the biggest things is making sure their mental health is as good as it can be. Today, you know, I had to ask him 3 times, you okay? And like I said, somebody can go through this and not have gone through it yet and think it's not that big a deal. You know, I told you, I have a coach that's 76 that went through it and wasn't a big deal. I got a neighbor 55 who's fighting for his life. You know, there are no answers on this. And so whatever we do is going to be in the safety and well-being of our student athletes and my coaching staff, to be very honest with you. And probably somewhere around 130, 150 on the list will be who gets sick and how long he'll be out, because I got 120 things ahead of that on my to-do list.
And with this downtime, with not really knowing how to handle it, have you reached out to some of these other coaches and programs? I know, you know, Nebraska's going through it. Penn State went through it. I mean,
I told you guys, that's a good question, Matt. I told you guys early in the year that I started calling football coaches. I did that in September, October. And I talked to Maryland, Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State. I talked to people all over and on both sports to try to get a handle with the football guys, because they were going through it at the time. The difference with football is when you have 100 kids out there, I don't say you hide them, but you can survive without, and you got bigger numbers. In basketball, with the small numbers, it's a little more difficult. But I have talked to people, and I talked to Jay Wright a lot. I mean, he plays tomorrow night, supposedly. It'll be the first time since, I think, December 22nd. And so, they started practicing a few days ago. It's a long time to go, and it'll affect everybody differently. And you don't know what the residuals are and who comes back faster and all those things. Every person's different. So because it happened this way at Ohio State doesn't mean it'll happen this way at Michigan State, or this way at Alabama doesn't mean it'll happen this way at Michigan State. So all I can do is, believe it or not, I've tried to do more. Last night I delivered food to each kid. I'm just trying to do something to keep them upbeat about it, because I'll still go with this. If I were somebody, I'd say, well, do you think we even should have played? I still think the safety and mental health of my players is best what they've done. I really believe that. And I'm proud of them for how they've handled it. Is it difficult? Yeah, I've been through some difficult things here over the years. And this ranks right up there with one of the most difficult, because it's unknown. I can't. I'm fighting an invisible foe. And that makes it a little, I'm not trying to be dramatic, it just makes it a little harder.
Well, next to Chris Solari.
It was a lot of what I was going to ask you about with the unknown. As a coach that, you know, you usually have structure, regimentation, and all those things that come along with this. I guess, first of all, how do you deal with that as a coach? And secondly, as a caretaker of these kids, I'd imagine that's pretty tough to kind of manage at this point.
Well, you just got to picture being 20 again. Those of you that are farther away from 20, it's a little harder. Those of you who are closer to 20, it's a little easier. But you think about being 20 and have some coach tell you every night to stay in your apartment and don't talk to your friends and don't mingle with the new students that are coming back. And, you know, tell your girlfriend you're on a little time away. That's difficult. And I can't say I know how difficult because I never went through it. But it is hard on these kids. And like I said, I'm going to say it 15 times during this little press conference. I am so proud of my guys. And even their parents, you know, what have I done? Well, I've talked to their parents. What do? I bring them dinner. What do? I text or call most of them every night. This is never ending right now because I am worried that sooner or later, as good as they've been, I mean, you know, all they wanted to know today, can we get back in the gym to shoot? You know, can we do it if it's individual? So maybe I'll spend, you know, with the 10 guys I can or 8 guys I can, do a little half-hour individual workout with each one of them. Those will be what will be different. So what I don't know everything because I'm just going every day. As I said, 10 o'clock last week, everything's green, we're going. 1 o'clock, I tell you everything's good. 3 o'clock, I look like a liar. And yet I had to deal with that. And then we had to sit there and wait. We had to get them retested. Because you go from the antigen testing to the brain test. And then, you know, we got that back. We held the plane for an hour. When we got that back, we had to make the call, you know. And like I said, I apologize on some of it. But, you know, calling one of you to tell you just wasn't in my cards right then. I had 50,000 things to do, including calling his parents, including making sure our other players were okay, including calling Iowa.
That's all the questions that we have right now.
Well, I did want to close on something that is important to me, especially what we've been through all summer. And let's not let all the negative news cause us to forget the importance of the day. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And as I said, it doesn't matter white or black. It doesn't matter what race you are. There was ever a time that our country needed to have some unity and equality. It's now. As I watch the different documents on Dr. King, I've been so impressed by his message about love, not hate. And as Lindsay stated, you know, the things he talked about it through adversity and what you have to go through. And you know, a lot of people do a lot of things in the world. Not many people give their lives for a cause. And that's kind of what he did. And, you know, watching what's been happening on the news lately, I got to say, it sickens me, and it makes me feel bad that a guy lost his life fighting for something that over 50 years later, I'm watching military personnel gather around our Capitol building with a fence, and it just makes me sick, and I mean sick to my stomach, and it should not be tolerated, in my humble opinion, and I hope every Raves spends the day to honor a man who stood for and still stands for today. As I said, it's been over 50 years to try to make a dream come true. You know, we always tell our guys, dream big. He tried to make a dream come true. And today, we're going to spend the time in a gym with a big TV and we're going to watch one or two of the documentaries that I've watched recently that I thought had an impact to help educate not just our white players, but our black players who really, you know, weren't even, some of their parents were barely born that long ago. And maybe appreciate the day and hope that in our city alone, the next 3-4 days, smarter minds prevail and we realize that we are all in this together. And, you know, when I look at those military people down there, I said to myself, you know, man, you feel like putting on a uniform and going down there and sitting there with them.
Love the way he ended it. All right, folks, again, Current Sports will not be on the air tomorrow because of the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris inauguration starting at 10:30 a.m. You can watch on WKAR-TV, 23.2 WKAR-TV's World Channel. You can stream it at WKAR.org, or you can listen to NPR's live coverage of the inauguration on 105.1 WKAR News Talk. So that means I'll see you on Thursday, folks. Be smart. Please, please, please be safe. And be easy, people.